Okay, moving on to Chacham Etam. We either have this and another one, or this and two more. We'll see how we do. Okay. Okay, we'll start. And these two children, the world called them the sage and the simpleton, the Chacham Etam. That one they called the sage, they called the Chacham, and the other one they called the simpleton, a Tam. Although there exist many clever ones and simpletons in the world, here, however, it was very noticeable, for they both hailed from the one town and studied one school, and one extraordinarily clever, and one was very a great Tam, meaning that the contrast between them were great. We're telling them that we're talking about before is it the best thing to be the Tam? I don't know, that's pretty extreme. It's pretty extreme to like spend your whole day and your little work with you. It's like sitting there and working on a calculator like this when someone can teach you Excel and you can get Excel. But no, I don't want to learn. This is the way I do it. Not, I don't care about anyone. That's very extreme. Like you can be a little more efficient. So the time is very, very, very extreme, and the chacham is really extreme. Just because a person has chacham, that doesn't mean that. So they're very extreme. So that's what they were known. This was the time, and this is the chacham. In the royal registry, everybody is registered with all names of this family. So they registered this one as nicknamed Sage, and the other one Simpleton. Meaning, even in this registry of the king, they had these nicknames. One day, the king came over to the registry, and he found the two, how they were recorded. One was nicknamed the Sage, and the other one was nicknamed the Simpleton. This was a surprise to the king that the two had such nicknames, the Sage and the Simpleton, the Chacham V'Tam. So the king very much wanted to see them. So the king considered, if I suddenly send for them, they would come before me, they will get very frightened, and the clever one will not know what to answer, and the simpleton may perhaps become crazy through fear. So the king, okay, fine. So let's just stop for a minute. What's going on here? We're going crazy about like the Chacham and the Tam, the Chacham and the Tam. So one of the crazy things is that the Chacham and the Tam, they figured out they had the same address. When they look at the registry book, they have because remember that the Chacham is living with the Tam, they have the same address, and they're from the same place. And like almost like, hey, are these the same people? One message I was trying to get here that person within a person, we have a chacham inside of us and a tam, and it's living inside of us, and it's a pelitika thing that we have to like balance this life of being a chacham to be a person who's like totally, you know, like calculated out and thought out, and on the other hand we're a tam and we just do things. So that's one thing, that the idea of them being under one like the king is like. Another thing, I just bought this beautiful parish on Sipurim Maisos, and he talks about like this. What we're about to see, the story takes a major shift right now. Now the story, you're gonna see that like up till now we've been learning about the Chacham's life and the Tam's life, the bat, you know, how the Chacham messed himself totally up in life, and as the Tam, when you say the Tam's life is messed up,
no.
No, he's not.
He's successful.
Yeah, he's fine. He's poor and everything like that. And like, kind of like, it's a little bit unfair that the good guy is losing out here. You know, he doesn't have any money or anything like that. He doesn't have any coats. He doesn't have this. And you have this horrible chacham who's like coming in with all this rich stuff. And like, up till now we've been learning saying the chacham and tam. Now we put them to test. Now we put the tam to test. Are you just some tam that can't get anywhere in life? Because we said that the time is a little bit negative tone to life. He's not going to get anywhere in life. He's going to be a nobody his whole life. He's going to be a nothing his whole life. He's going to be put to test, and the Chacham is also going to be put to test. What happens is that the king looks into his registry. So let me read you from this parish. It's from this Rav Barlev. Nobody really knows him. He's a son-in-law of Rav Nassim Tzvi Koenig, who is very, very big in Breslov. His like great nephew, I'm not sure how it goes, or even nephew. Some relative is Rav Elazar Mordechai Koenig in Tzfat. The Rav in Tzfat is related to Rav Nassim Tzvi Koenig. Somehow they're related. Rav Koenig in Tzfat, his father was Rav Gedalia Koenig, Rav Nassim Tzvi Koenig, I think we're cousins. Just a little bit of background then. He's the son-in-law of Rav Nassim Tzvi Koenig, if anybody followed that. Okay, Rav Nassim Tzvi Koenig says like this. Ki Yeshma is a very, very important klal to understand. What's happening now? All of a sudden, the king wakes up and looks in the registry and takes interest in these people. Ki Yeshma Tzav Shel Shichacha. There is what's called in the way that Hashem runs the world, Shichacha. Forgetfulness. What? Hashem forgets? Ein Shichacha Lufnei Chizchvodecha. There's no forgetting for Hashem. Shekadosh Baruch Hu Master Yatzim Ba'olam. That Shekadosh Baruch Hu lets the world run the way it should run. You're going to be stupid and you're not going to learn Excel and you want to do your old ways and you don't want to learn how to make a shoe for God's sakes and you don't want to do this. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm going to be master myself. You want to be a good person and not go ahead. Hashem allows the world to run the way he wants it. Skaski is on the registry. The registry is taken care of. The database has got it. The database runs the institution. We're not really checking this so well. And you see in the world, some really good people in the world, some really good tzaddikim in the world, they're not getting what they deserve in this world. And some rishayim are getting very good things in this world, right? The famous thing. Right, the famous thing. This guy is such a good guy, and he's a poor person. He has nothing. He's a big doctor. He's a rich guy. Okay, granted, he makes himself crazy, and he's not really happy. But that's his fault. But Hashem is giving him. Hashem is allowing him. So where is the justice here? Where is Hashem here? How come the time doesn't win out? But there comes a time where Hashem says, that's it, I'm not running by the registry. I'm going to be some lave to this, and I'm going to make sure that the Chacham gets what the Chacham gets, and the Tam gets what the Tam gets. Again, with their Bechira. I'm going to give them the Bechira. So now what that happens is that the king calls up. The king gives the opportunity to the Chacham, and he gives an opportunity to the Tam. We're about to see this. So too in our lives. Sometimes we kind of, a lot of our lives is just b'der chateva. That's, you know, you make your bed, you sleep in it and going, you know, Hashem doesn't really like, there's no like unbelievable crossroads in our lives. But there are some crossroads in our lives. There are some crossroads where the king calls us up. Now we're about to see that the king calls up the Chacham and he calls up the Tam. And he puts them to the test. What are they going to do? So here we go. So imagine, you know, the king is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Chacham and the Tam is each one of us. With whatever we've been doing up to life, Hashem puts us to the test. And he says, where are you going to go with this? So let's see how they go. So let's go on. So the king called the clever one and the simpleton, who was in charge of the treasury, and he sent them to the two, the clever one and the simpleton. So, okay, so the king also has his clever person and the simple person. He says, the simple person, you go to the Tam, the smart person, you go to the Chacham. He gave them the letters to each separately, and he gave them more letters to the governor of the district under whom the two were. The king ordered in the letters that the governor should send them letters in his name to the clever one and to the simpleton, so that they should not be frightened. And he should write them that the matter is not urgent, and the king does not expressly order them to come. But they have the choice to come if they wish. It's not urgent. It's not like your head's going to fall off because you're not listening to the king. Come if they wish. And the king would like to see them. Okay, again, Hashem doesn't want to make it forcefully, because what happens forcefully? Then the Bechira falls away. Hashem's saying, I'm going to give you the choice. Just like Hashem, do you have to go to the king right now? No. I could also eat a hamburger. I don't have to go to the king right now. I could also do that. The king wants to make sure that they have the choice to come to him or not. So came to the governor and delivered the letters to him. So the governor made inquiries about the two children, was informed that the clever one was unnaturally clever and very wealthy, and the simpleton was a very great simpleton, and he gets all kinds of clothes from this sheepskin. The governor bethought himself, it is surely not nice to bring him before the king in a sheepskin. So he had a suitable clothes. He brought special clothes for the town. I'm not going to bring him in the sheepskin to the king. They're about to call him up and bring him to the king. But he says, I'm going to have special clothing for him. He can't go in this disgusting sheepskin to the king. So he made suitable clothes for him and placed them in the chariot of the simpleton. And he gave them the letters. And the messengers journeyed and came and delivered the letters to them. The clever one delivered to the clever one, and the simpleton delivered to the simpleton. The simpleton immediately, as he was given the letter, called out to the messenger, who was a simpleton, who had brought him the letter. He goes, I do not know what is in the letter. I don't know how to read this letter. He didn't know how to read the Tom. He's illiterate. He didn't know how to read. Read it to me. He answered, I will tell you by heart what it says there. The king desires you to come to him. So what does he say? Inzi says, no joking. Meaning, don't play with me. That's the one thing that the Tam doesn't like. Don't take advantage of me. I know who I am. I know that I'm very, very naive. Don't play with me. Don't go there. Don't make a joke about me. He says it also before. You can say what you want, but don't joke about me. He stops there, the Tam. So he at once became full of joy and read and said to his wife, "My wife, the king has sent for me." Right? So the king calls on the Tam to come to him. Okay? So what he says in this parish here, that this letter is the Torah. And what was the Tam? The Tam didn't even know what it said in it. He doesn't know why he's going to the king. What does this sound like?
Nasa v'nishma.
Ah, there's Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma. I don't know what the king wants me, but the king wants me. I'm special. And he goes to his wife and says, "I'm going to the king." Meanwhile, he saw the clothes the governor made him for use and plays in the chariot. So he was even more joyful. He had clothes already. He was exceedingly happy. Notice, he didn't mind putting on the clothing. Is this a good step in the Tam that he just accepted the clothing and wore it?
Well, it kind of goes against what he's been about up until now.
Why?
Because up until now he didn't need the clothes to be happy. Now he's exceedingly happy. I mean, now he didn't need to feel like I'm special to the king to feel happy. Now he is happy.
Okay, you could say that, but I'm going to give a... Yeah.
But it's only temporary, though. Meaning, at one point, he's going to not care anymore about the fact that that the king cares about him, and the clothing is on him, and it's just going to go away.
Well, let's see, yeah, but that doesn't mean he can't be happy right now. That the king is calling for me and giving me fresh clothes.
Could the clothing be like the mitzvos? Can the clothing be like the mitzvos, maybe?
In terms of what?
Like, you sent the letter. I mean, mm-hmm. This is our Torah, and now you put them on, you actively do.
So right, the mitzvos, right. But just going back to what I said, he's a Tom. Okay, he takes the situation, he doesn't think about it well. Like, wow, a beautiful clothing. I'll put them on now. Meaning he doesn't need the clothing.
Also, for them, then for the Chacham, it would be these clothes,
we're going to see. We're going to contrast this with the Chachams, how the Chacham reacts to it. But it's okay that he put a ton of clothes. It's like a naive, little kid. Okay, he brought me clothing. Great. I was happy before. But great, I'll put on these clothing for the king. No problem. Meaning that he doesn't mind. He understands that there's an idea of stepping up to the plate. That we haven't seen him step up to the plate on that. He's been happy, but he hasn't gotten anywhere in life. How do you think the Tam would answer? No, I live a simple life. I don't need the king. I don't need these clothing. Let me just leave me alone. I'm happy making my shoe. I'm happy with this. No, he takes the opportunity. He takes the opportunity. Meantime, information was given to the king against the governor that he practiced falsehood. So the king put him aside. We'll see what that means. So in a minute, the king bethought himself, if would be a good thing to have for governor an ordinary person, because a simpleton will rule the country. There was one worker for the king that was doing all these not shady things. He says, okay, I gotta get rid of him, and he decides that he wants a simpleton. Why is a simpleton good to run the? Because he won't be corrupted, right? He's simple. He doesn't need the money to be. And with justice, he knows no subtleties and no tricks. So the king was pleased with the idea of making the simpleton, right? The simpleton who's a comrade of the clever one from the king's sent a governor. So the king sent a royal proclamation that the simpleton he had sent for should become governor. And as the simpleton must ride through the city of the district, therefore guards should be posted on the gates of the city so that as soon as the simpleton arrives, he be halted and be given the honor of governor. Oh, did I skip a page? No, I don't think so. No. This was done accordingly, and people stood on the gates. As soon as he rode through, he was stopped, and he was told that he was become governor. He said, without joking altogether, meaning, you're not joking me, right? You're not joking, I'm not making fun, right? Again, he doesn't want to make fun. And he answered, definitely without joking. And the simpleton immediately became governor with authority and strength. Ooh, the Tam finds authority and strength. This person was just a loser who didn't want to learn anything. Now he has authority and strength. All of a sudden he finds his authority and strength. Now that his fortunes were rising and fortune enlightened, it makes it clear he already had wisdom. But nevertheless, he did not use his cleverness, but proceeded with his humility to hear therefore. And he led the country with humility and truth and justice, and he did no falsehood to injustice to anybody. In the rule of a country, no great wisdom or trickery is needed, only justice and humility. We all think that the guy has to be ingenious, like this. Just have justice and humility. Most of our leaders in politics have everything but this. Right? They may be smart in this, and they have every strategy in this, but they're a bunch of baligaiva and they can't get anywhere. As long as I have justice and humility, I'll be fine. If there came two litigants before him, he'd say, you are the right one and you are the wrong one. I mean, just as simple as that. You're right and you're wrong. You make sense, you don't make sense, you're wrong, he's right. No tricks. No tricks. Just as the humility was without any deception or falsity, thus he led everything with truth. He had no, like, you know, like shticks. You know, some people have so many shticks, like, I wouldn't really tell him that he's really the bad one because in this one, he just said it as is, very easily. You're right, you're wrong, you're chayv, you're guilty, you're innocent. He was beloved in the country and he had devoted advisors who truly loved him. Out of devotion of them and advise him, you will surely have to become before the king, since he has already sent for you. And again, the procedures that a governor must come before the king. So now they tell you, you know, you're going to go before the king. Therefore, although you are very honest, and the king will not find any deceit in you in your rule of the country, nevertheless, it is usually practiced for a king when he discusses while talking, he digresses and begins to talk of wisdom and languages. Therefore, it is nice and is only expected that you should be able to respond. For this reason, it would be right that I should teach you arts and languages. Whoa, this Tom who can't do anything, who's sitting a little hut making these horrible shoes, is going to learn all the languages. And what does he say to that? What do you think the Tom says to that? Do you think he says, no, I'm a Tom, I don't learn anything, I don't give me this. Okay, you want me to learn languages? I'll learn languages. Who, by the way, who does this sound like in the Chumash? He's actually called a Tom in the Chumash. He's called a Tom, who's called Tom in the Chumash? Yaakov Ish Tom. Yaakov, you want me to go there? I'll go there. You want me this and that? You want me to work for love? I'll work for love. I don't want me. Meaning that he just watches the opportunities of life as they come. And he takes them. He doesn't make a big deal out of himself. I mean, he's not a guy v'dik tam. A guy v'dik tam says, "Wait, I'm the tam. I can't learn those languages." Oh, so then already you're a gaiva diktam. And then you're ridiculous. Because a tam, the whole thing, that is no gaiva. Now you have gaiva that you're the tam. No, I'm no gaiva the tam. I learn languages, great. I put on the beautiful clothing. I learn languages. What? It's like a Rosh Hashanah, it's like a rabbi, like, he rolls with the punches, that's what it says, but Yaakov, he said, Yaakov Kal Baraglov, that he would go easy on his feet, to go there, to go there, you need love to this, here, you want sheep, the polka dot sheep, the dotted sheep, the striped sheep, the this, okay, I'll do it, I'll take care of it. It's like a rough walking into places, and said, Rav, please take a front seat. No, please, no, me, just be quiet and take some fun. See, don't make a big deal out of yourself. Don't make it a big deal. Say that you're the rub. That's so you're humble. Okay. It's like whenever have you heard like after somebody like introducing Rav Schechter, like, and they tell, like, they go on and on and on, and he goes up and says, okay, thank you very much. And never say, ah, please, okay, thank you very much. As if he didn't listen. Like, that was like the biggest shtuck to the person who gave a ridiculous. Like, yeah, okay, thank you very much. Okay, so what do I care if I learn the arts and languages? So he studied in whatever that word is, knowledge and languages, and immediately it came to his mind that the clever one, his comrade, had told him that it was by no means possible that she come to cleverness. Remember right before this, the last we ended up this, that the Chacham, the Tam says to the Chacham, why don't you become like me? He says, oh, I would need a lobotomy to come like you. You know, I need to lose my brain to come like you. And the Tom's like, well, I can, you know, Tom's like, I could be like you, keherif ayin. Like the blink of an eye, I can become like you. And he's like, well, I'm already like the chacham. Like, I put on the clothes, I learned the languages. And there he had already come to his cleverness. Then the king sent for the simpleton, the governor, to come before him. He journeyed to him. Now he's going to the king. First, the king discussed the simpleton, the procedure of running the country, and the king was highly pleased with him. For the king recognized that he followed a course of justice and great truth without any wrong and totally without falsity. After that, the king began to discuss various branches of knowledge and languages. The simpleton responded suitably, and the king was even better pleased. The king said, I see as such a wise one, and even so acts with such humility. So the king was very pleased with him and made him a minister of all ministers. Now he wasn't just a governor, he became the minister of all ministers.
Like a viceroy.
Yeah. And the king ordered that he be given a separate town in which he would have his residence, and he ordered that a beautiful building be erected and so suitable for him, and he gave him a written authority appointing him minister. And so it happened. They were erected from him beautiful and stately buildings at the place that the king had ordered, and he entered into great greatness resolutely. Oh, so a little Tom, living in a little hut, no food, no wine, no meat, no this, making bad choices. All of a sudden, what was the main thing that he followed, the Tam?
Justice.
whatever comes my way, I'll do it.
Opportunity. Opportunity in life. That's why we think that there's so many decisions to make in life. So many big decisions. What do I do? What do I do? All it is, I mean, all of that, make it sound simple. It's not simple, but is Bodhidusi, talk to Hashem. Talk to Hashem, I have this, I have that. Yeah. And then you can see your Simanim B'derech so much more clear in life. In Breslov, they say that decisions are for people who have no bitachon. I know it's Bodhidusi. Because when you do his Bodhidusi, you say, Hashem, show me the path. I don't know which way I'm going. I'm very confused about this and this and that. Please show me the path. And you're always looking at it. Boom, boom, boom. People can be showing the path all the time, but they're not seeing it, as we're going about to see about the Chacham. The Tam already is just saying, he's open to Hashem. Hashem, you give opportunities. You never forget me. And I'm going to just take your opportunities. And like, as the Shvila Rebbe from Newton, Massachusetts said, I saw this in like some newspaper in Boston, as I was visiting Judah's house long, long time ago. I don't think he wasn't married yet, but I just got married. And I went on a honeymoon to his parents' house in Boston, in Newton, Massachusetts. I don't know why that was so exciting, but we went to Newton, Massachusetts, and I was reading some newspaper in his house. It says the Shvila Rebbe of Newton, Massachusetts, like some Baal Tshuva who realized that he's one of an ankle of a Baal Shem Tov with the Shvila Rebbe, and he had a lot of money, so he like made like his own base measures there in Newton, Massachusetts. But one line that he said was unbelievable. He goes, I never had to make a decision in my life. I just took the best opportunity in front of them. So the Chacham is sitting there deciding, oh, da, 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 da. And Tom's like, boop, 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 boop. Like just following the opportunities that fall in his way because, well, I don't think of it. I'll take whatever Hashem wants. And the greatness here is that he's not anti Chacham either. This is the culmination of the Tam. He's not anti Chacham. He could be saying, "Let me just be stupid." I don't know. Some persons act like that. I have to be stupid. The bedrock of our existence is Tmimus. Tmimus is I don't understand. That's a bedrock. But beyond that, you have to fill yourself with Chachma. I'll read a little bit what he talks about that Iker Tikkun HaOlam, the fixing of the world, who are Chibra Chachma v'Atzimus, is to put together Chachma and Tmimus. There's no godless of just being the idiot Tam. That's not a godless. But if you fill Ushiyasuk Adam B'Torah v'Chachma v'Afa Picha and Yikai Motz Hashem b'Tmimus, that in the end of the day you serve Hashem because of Tmimus, and that's it. You're not serving Hashem because of this philosophy and that philosophy and that philosophy. Someone was just telling me over Shabbos that there was this guy who was searching for religions, and he went to like some big rabbi in New York that has like a meditative type thing, and he says, so what shita is this? What way of meditation is this? And he answers, he goes, tasaze. He goes, woo, tasaze. What does tasaze mean? He goes, it means just do it. Just do it. Tasaze, just do his bodhidus. What's so difficult? Why are you looking for shitas and shitas and shitas? The ikar of our moon of Hashem and the reason why we do business is tmimus. However, upon that, add chachma to it, and add chachma to it, and add chachma. Va'az zoch adam l'chachma, v'estakel ha'sechel. The goal of the world is v'estakel ha'sechel, to understand in a deep way why tzitzis, and to understand a deep way tefillin. The goal here is not just to be in the end of the day we do it with tmimus, but once you have the bedrock of tmimus, add chachma, and add chachma, and allow yourself to be open to chachma. Okay. So that's what he was doing here. He said, okay, I'll add the chachma. I'll add the clothing. I'll add the chachma. I'll add it. It's coming my way. Hashem's giving it to me. I'm going to do it. Now we're going to look at the... Now we're going to see how the... we're going to see how the chacham acts to it. Okay? Here we go. You ready to see how the Chacham acts to it? Okay. The clever one, when he received the letter from the king, answered the clever one that had brought him to the letter. The Chacham brings the Chacham the letter. He says, wait past the night here that we may discuss and consider. Time out. You're being called by the king and you're saying, not so fast. I want to show you. I'll show you guys a video after this that shows this very nicely. I don't want to say it on the tape. So, wait past the night here, and we may discuss and consider. Easy, you know, like we have to make decisions here. with my chachma, I have to make decisions here. Not so fast. He wasn't seeing the opportunity so well. Let's wait and discover. He didn't want to show that he's excited, like, the king wants me. The king wants me. No, let's wait and discover and consider. That night he made a great feast in his honor, in the honor of the people, person who came for the king. During the meal, the clever one began to meditate with his cleverness and with his philosophy and spoke up and said, what can this mean that such a king should send for such a humble person as I? All of a sudden he's humble. I don't understand. What am I that the king should send for me? Who has such a wide and great realm, and I so small, and I compared to a great ruler? How could it come to mind such a king should send for me? Shall I see because of my wisdom that he has sent for me? Of what account am I to the king? Has he then no wise ones? And the king himself is surely very wise. And for what reason should the king send for me? And at this he was very astonished. He's overanalyzing. He's not grabbing the opportunity. Right? He's not grabbing the opportunity. He's like, he says beautifully here, he says that he's not grabbing that moment. Hashem is waking him up and he's not being woken up. He says like this, he goes, when it comes Shabbos Kodesh, who am I to really enjoy, who am I to act like a king on Shabbos? Who am I to close my eyes and die and enjoy? Who am I? Who am I to put on tefillin and have kavanah and tefillin? Who am I to sing very strong? Who am I to do this? Again, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And the guy is totally missing the boat because Hashem is constantly giving these beautiful mitzvahs. Maybe that's the idea of the clothing. Who am I to have the mitzvah? Meaning, who am I to do these mitzvahs? Who am I? It's not about you. Hashem is giving it to you. You put it on because of the king. You say, yes, king. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. I'll put it on. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. Shabbos. Yes, yes. Thank you, Hashem. But if you're always thinking about yourself, okay, you're always not great enough. Now he's going to start to doubt the king. Because he doubts himself, he doubts the king. You hear how it goes? Because he's doubting himself, that's why the first thing that we say in the morning is not Hashem's, not our moon in Hashem, Hashem's moon in us. Moda ani lefanecha melech ha'evgeim, shechazarta bi nishmas, yutur ma'am neshama, bechemla, with great love, rabbe munasecha, great is?
Your faith.
Your emuna. Because if I believe that Hashem believes in me, I will believe in Hashem. If I believe that there's a God who doesn't believe in me, if I have a boss that doesn't believe in me, I will find every reason to say why he's a bad boss and why his workplace is a horrible workplace and that they're this and that. But if he shows me one interest in me and says, you're doing great work, I'm really proud of you, great job on the project, you know, you're not even getting a bonus, but he believes in you, I love this company. This company is great. This boss is great. It could change like that. So it could flip flop like that. And then like one boss that looks at you bad. And then you're like, oh, this workplace is horrible. This and this. That's how we are. That's how we are. So because he doesn't believe that he can step up to the place, now he's going to start doubting the king. Like us. We're going to start doubting Hashem because Shabbos is really for me. Does that mean, I'm not zochet to all this Kedusha. So as he's wondering, so he addressed himself. You know that I will tell you. I'm just imagining that he has like one of those fancy sweaters on, you know, and like a pipe coming out of his mouth, you know, and like fancy glasses. My idea is that as follows, that there's no king at all in the world. You know what? There's no king in the world. And the whole world is mistaken in this. They think there is a king. Try to understand how comes it in that the whole world should place themselves in the hands of one person, that he should be the king. There is positively no king in the world. So all of a sudden, out of all this, he says, "Ho, hold on, there's no king. Right? There's no king in the world." And the guy said, answered the clever one, the messenger, "I brought you a letter from the king." What are you talking about? This is no king. I'm bringing you a letter from the king. What is he? Asked from the clever one, "Did you yourself take the letter from the king's hands?" He answered him, "No, another person gave me the letter from the king." He said, "Now see with your eyes that I am right, that there is no king at all, because the king didn't give it to you. Somebody else gave it to you. So how can I believe that there's a king in the world?"
Is this like Masorah like type of thing? Like,
sounds like it.
Is like
right.
I thought maybe he was Moshe. That he was Moshe.
The Parish here talks about that. The Parish talks about that here, that... So first of all, because of his shortcomings, he's having this doubt in the king. It's very clear that because he's not zocha to it, he has doubts in the king. But he says like this, Sha'ole Eitzel Harbi, a lot of people think, Kol Echel Ofen Shelo, we think, why does Hashem give me such difficulties? Why me? Why this? And what happens? What does that lead to? Oh, there must be no God. And he says, V'chini Amiso Begolos Mitzrayim, and we're Mitzrayim. We're working so hard. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm here to take you out. And Hashem Yisborach will take you out of here, and he's helping us. But Yisrael didn't, they couldn't listen. Merov Avodah, from all of their work, Meruach Katzar, from their shortness of breath, a God we should believe in. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem sent me. No. We just can't. We just can't believe in that. So he's just, we can't. And I'll prove it to you, you didn't see the king yourself. How many people said, did you see God? Did you see God? Even though they were living on God, where God's running a great world. Like, did anybody meet the mayor here?
Of where?
Of Beit Shemesh.
I think one time we did, don't we? Didn't like last
I don't know.
Year, at the end of the
so how do you know she exists?
Well, she doesn't.
Not the new one.
Huh?
She doesn't.
Did Bibble come last year?
Huh?
Bibble come here last year?
Not yet. Was that like a community thing? I think.
So he said, you see that I am right. That there's positive no king at all because you have never seen the king. Again, the clever one, the messenger asked, if that is so, who rules the country? Like, wait, how does this whole place run? So he explains, he gave a whole answer. This I will explain to you clearly. For I am experienced. And you should ask me because I have been abroad in various countries. I have seen in Italy where the custom is. There are 70 executive advisors and they come up and lead the country for a time. And the ministerial rank is shared by the whole country. Meaning he gives his whole answers and to all these different advisors and they come to meet each other and they run the world that way. Right, this is referring to the 70 nation. Angels, by the way.
Oh, that's 70 nations.
Right, 70 nations, each nation has an angel. Yeah. So his talk started to penetrate into the ears of the others till they were both satisfied that there's certain no king in the world. And that now he convinced the messenger of the king that there is no king in the world. The clever one rose in the morning and woke with the other clever one, the messenger, and said to him, come with me into the street and I will show you how the whole world is in error and there is no king at all. Okay, now when a person's convinced that there's no king, he has to tell the whole world. My daughter was asking me, there was like a hada with the soldier that died. There's a whole big thing about, there was a, I suppose on Ynet, they said that they were making fun of the father of the soldier that died. Like, if the father sat Shiva when he went to the army, does he have to sit Shiva again? It was like almost like a joke again. And the father got on, you guys saw the video of the father getting on that, like, so poisonously said, we're so proud of him, what are you talking about? We're so proud of him.
Oh, the one
with the Breslover.
Breslover.
So my daughter's like, how could it be that Ynet, like, somebody comes out and they said, because everybody has their own narrative of the world and everybody wants everything to fit into that narrative. And you'll do everything, even to talk about a dead soldier whose father was proud of him, that he's in the army, to talk about that he sat Shiva. Right, which is totally not true. Everybody will paint their own narrative. So now he wrote a narrative that there is no king, and he wants to paint that narrative to the whole world. Just like Ynet News wants to paint the narrative to the whole world that Haredim hate the army, and they hate their sons that go in the army, because this is a perfect opportunity. A soldier died from Nachal Haredi. Let's tell the whole world that the Haredim hate the army. And they paint a totally wrong narrative. He's so excited now. Let's tell it. It says he even woke up in the morning, early in the morning. It's like, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Lahavdil. Lahavdil. He woke up early in the morning on our mission to prove that there is no God in the world. So they went into the market and they saw a soldier. And they got hold of him and they asked, who do you serve? He answered, the king. Have you seen the king in your life? He answered, no. So he spoke and said, look, is this folly? Look, is there such folly? I mean, that's ridiculous. He's working for the king and he never saw the king himself. After that, they went to an officer of the army and they entered into conversation with him till they asked, whom do you serve? He answered, the king. Have you seen the king? No. So he said, now see with your eyes that they are all in error and there is no king, because no officer ever saw the king. So they agreed that there is no king. The first clever one spoke, come, let us journey over the world, and I will show you further how the whole world is very mistaken and is great folly. Okay, now what is our answer is the fact that they didn't actually see the king with their own eyes?
They don't have to see him?
We can't see the king with our own eyes. Why should a soldier see the king with their own eyes? That doesn't mean he doesn't exist. We have to believe in Mesorah. We have to believe in the Torah that Hashem gave us. We have to believe in the world that Hashem gave us. He is so obsessed about seeing physically. His whole life is just physical. There's no such thing as looking back and saying, wait, how does a country run? Who's feeding the soldier? How does it go? He gave us a ridiculous answer about the 70 ministers and everything like that. Like, some weird, weird answer. Why, what? You know, it's almost like, prove to me that... Before I have to prove to you that there's a God, you have to prove to me that there's no God. I don't have to prove to you that there's a God. Look at the world. You prove to me, the Kiddush is on your side, that there's no God. You prove that to me. I don't have to prove to you that there's God. Yes.
I just wanted to point out, maybe that's why they stress to see with your eyes. He doesn't say anything beyond
right.
what you could
right.
physically do.
He's a fleshy good person. He only believes if his senses feel it, see it, touch it. He doesn't understand about anything in the transcendent. Nothing in the infinite. What's alive is alive, and what's dead is dead. For those, I didn't learn the Sevivon piece of Rabbi Nachman, but it talks about just that the whole world is constantly moving, dead and alive and alive and dead and dead. There's no. They say that when Rabbi Nachman was in a room, like it would be like noisy in the room, and you'd walk in and no one was in the room. And I said, what's going on? And I just heard a lot of people. He says, there's neshamas that I had to take care of, so it was very loud, you know, there was like a big to do here. There's no difference, you know, you go to Tzfat, there's no difference between dead and alive. And it's a city that's built around the cemetery, and the cemetery, Arizal is the main character in Tzfat, but he's been dead for close to 500 years, you know. But it doesn't matter, Arizal's so alive, you know. Like, but he's only, everything is just, you know, if I see it with my eyes, I'll believe it. I won't believe it. But now we're going to see the next. So they journeyed over the world, and wherever they came, they found the world in error. Okay, again, you're always going to find somebody in error. Once you wrote this narrative, you will never, ever be able to see anybody that's right. And then the matter of the king was already then to explain as they found that the world is in error. They took the king as an example. Just as it is true that there is no king, so is this also. So he said basically the world's wrong about everything. So they traveled around the world and traveled thus till they expended all that they had. They started by selling a horse and then the others till they sold and all the travel by foot. And all as they still world ever found that the world was in error. And they became impoverished wonders on foot and were no longer important. What they do to themselves? What did they do to themselves? They made themselves poor with nothing. Paupers, vagabonds, nobody. Because what? Because the narrative. Once you want to sell a narrative to the world, you will give everything you can to sell it. There's no end to their mysterious nefesh, quote unquote, to this cause. Chazal tells us that apikorsus and taivas take the nefesh of a person. It takes the nefesh. Took their nefesh. People took no notice of them, of such beggars. Thus they went around the world till on the way they came back to the town where dwelt the minister, which was really the town at that time. And then there in the city there was a true sage. This sage was highly respected because he performed miracles. Even among the lords he was famed, and they held him in high esteem. Okay, let's stop there and... let's stop there, and then the next part of the story is with this Baal Shem, the sage. It's a whole story with the Baal Shem and the Chacham. But basically, what's happening here is the Chacham and now he convinced other people on his way. They're having like this big crusade of the world that it's like power also. Power had a certain narrative, and no matter how many 10 Makos has to go until his son dies, until he dies. Well, he didn't die, sorry. His son dies, his firstborn son, until to realize that, yes, that there is a God in this world. But power took a very long time. It doesn't matter. When you have a narrative, there's no end to your narrative. Yes?
It reminds me of something that I learned before in a sefer that, like, I don't know if it's a sefer, but more of a book, but that, like, there's some things that also we accept. Like, we accept, like, atoms and, like, these small particles we say that are wrong. Like, if you would ask anyone, you'd say, like, are there atoms on the table? I'd say, yeah, of course. Like, science says there's atoms on the table.
Right.
And even though you can't see them, we all accept it to be there.
Right.
You know? But when it comes to something like God, we're all like, well, I can't see him, so then how can I believe him?
Right.
We believe scientists when they say
all these
things.
Very good.
That
we can't
see.
We all fly airplanes, yet we can't explain how the airplane really works. but it does its job. You know, I'm using my computer. I have no idea what's going on in there, but it's working. Right, very good. It's working.
Right. Please don't work.
Why?
No, they just don't fly.
Well, There's thousands, if not millions, of flights as we speak now. Okay, so we're gonna learn now. The story now. Just to give you a heads up. The story is gonna get really, really, really wild when he meets the Baal Shem, and now it gets like with demons and everything like that.